This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of First United Methodist Church here in Rock Springs. As Christmas 2021 approaches, it has been another difficult year for many, and some seeing little hope for the year to come. The significance of Christmas often gets lost in hopelessness, stress, and worry. Yet, it is the very person that Christmas represents, Jesus, our Christ, who provides answers to the distractions swirling around us. It is the Christ of Christmas who fills our lives with His hope, joy, peace, and love, even in the midst of our struggles and doubts. We are a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. You're invited to join us in worship Sundays at 10:30 a.m. at 1515 Egger Street, just above the high school. From everyone here at Rock Springs First Methodist, we wish you a very Merry Christ-filled Christmas.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live on Sunday, December 19th, 2021, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Father, help us to look past the trappings of the season, that we may focus our thanks and praise on you, Father Almighty, for the gift of your Son, whose birth we celebrate at this time of year. May our hearts and lives be filled with hope, peace, joy, and love that is found through Him, Jesus our Christ. Amen. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent. God is with us. When Mary was engaged to Joseph, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. We light the first candle to remind us to keep awake and be ready. The second Advent candle reminds us to change our ways. The third Advent candle reminds us of the good news that the blind can see and the lame can walk. We light the fourth Advent candle to remind us that God is with us.
Let us pray. Dear God, your faithfulness is great, leading us to this day of anticipation and celebration. May the glorious light of your steadfast love shine brightly in us and through us, that all may give your praise and glory. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.
Our gracious and loving God, hear our hearts and prayers as we lift them before you. Father, we sometimes come and bow our heads and humble our hearts before you, but the words don't come. The thoughts are busied with life that is around us, worries and cares that beat us up, lift us up, tear us down, and send us far. Sometimes we bow our heads and the list is so long, the needs are so many, that sometimes, Father, the greatest thing we can do is listen for you, to let the Holy Spirit pray on our behalf, with words that only you can understand, but reflect the depth of our heart, our feelings, our emotions, our humanity. And Father, sometimes we come together in groups. We hold hands. We lift our hearts. We hear the prayers of others. We come together in times of intercessory prayer, petitions of prayer on the behalf of others. Sometimes we just silently come to you and whisper a quick one, that we would be led by you. Father, however we come, let us come knowing that you hear your children pray. And there's no sweeter voice to you than that of a child who has come to your ear to share time with you in prayer, or just to be held by you in that silent moment. To know that there is always hope and help in a loving God who reaches into our lives with love and grace. And Father, we pray that you would forgive us in Jesus' name for the times we have not listened, where we have sought to do our own will rather than yours, where we have put you further down the list than should have been. Father, for wherever we've went wrong, not only may you forgive us, but may you empower us, encourage us, and lead us, that we would turn from those things into your presence by your grace and through your mercy. And Father, as we come to you during this season of Advent, holding in one heart the remembrance of Christ born in Bethlehem, remembering the life he lived, the teachings he gave us, and even with sorrow, the brokenness, the death. But then with joy, the celebration of the empty tomb, and holding on to the promise of your coming again. But Father, you are here with us. You are in us and around us, even now. And Father, we pray for the needs within our congregation and our family here. We pray for Alma. Father, may you be with her, strengthen her, touch her, heal her. For those who are suffering from whatever it may be of a natural disaster, sorrow, loneliness, and grief in these holiday seasons, Father, we lift them to you this morning, trusting in your love and grace to touch their hearts and lives, to let them know we are thinking about them, but even more than that, you are there, you are present. And Father, we pray for our church as we enter into a new year with lots of things on the agendas, lots of things to look at, lots of ways that we should be in service. Father, may you lead us and guide us, and may we seek your will, your way, your plan, and follow you in all that we do as a church. And Father, we pray for our community. We pray for those during this holiday season who have plenty, but who have not. We pray for those who have lost and mourn. We pray for those who celebrate. Father, may we be praying for one another in every way. We pray for our nation, leaders of our country and around the world. We pray for peace. We pray for God to be honored, Christ to be celebrated, the Holy Spirit followed. Father, we just pray for all those who serve, all those who sacrifice, and all those who give. We pray for those who are nursing home, hospitals, and shut-ins in their own homes. May they be comforted. And may those who care for them be filled and renewed with energy, selfless service, and compassion. And now, Father, we pray that you hear us as we join together our hearts and voices to pray the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why this has happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The word of God for the people of God.
How many of you saw God at work? Well, some of you have. That's good. Some of you have not. That's not good. Maybe the question should be not have we saw God at work, but we have we been at work for God. Let's take a look at it. Think about it. As we enter into this season of Advent and we continue marching toward the birth of Christ and the celebration of the Messiah, Emmanuel, among us, we read the familiar scriptures that should bring back memories of Christmas past, should bring back memories of our faith and our journey. And I've noticed that in our world today, we really need some things that don't change. We really need some things that we can kind of anchor down and hold on to and plan on, depend on, and trust that they're going to be a part of our journey, a part of our life, a part of our communities, a part of our families. So we read these stories, and we often kind of read the stories, right? It's a story. No, this is about what happened. This is about what happened. Yeah, it's told in a form of a story, but it's about what really happened. So thinking about God at work, and I'm looking at this story, and I'm really looking at who's in it. Zechariah. He was just a regular old guy working down at the temple, really. Nothing special about Zechariah in the line, in the lineage, and fulfilling the traditions. Going into the temple, his wife Elizabeth, nothing special about her. As a matter of fact, she was barren, which meant God didn't like her much in the tradition of Israel. She couldn't have babies, but then we remember another Israelite, another Hebrew person, by the name of Sarah, who too was barren and couldn't have children. And it would be to her that God in the inheritance and the fulfillments of the promises would begin in Isaac. So we have Elizabeth who finds herself pregnant in old age and she can't believe it. It's actually a disgrace. For the people think, well, Yeah, she must have, something must have happened. But no, she was old. She was on in years. She was, the Bible says, barren. She couldn't have babies. And then we've got Mary. Let's think about Mary for a moment. Mary really wasn't anybody special. She was just a poor and sort of unfortunate Israelite girl. She didn't have a family of prominence or wealth or significance or stature. And Joseph, by the way, wasn't the best catch. He was a lot older than her, maybe even 20 years older than she was. Sort of, she was getting what was left, and he was too. But it was to that very person that the Holy Spirit would come. It was to Elizabeth, the least likely, that the greatest prophet would be born, John the Baptist. And we notice that she was about 6 months pregnant when Mary got the news that she too would be pregnant. And she leaves, Mary leaves, and she goes to her cousin's house, Elizabeth's. And she goes in and she says, "Hi, Elizabeth, how are you doing?" And immediately, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And she prophesies and proclaims. And her heart is glad. Mary will respond, but that's for another Sunday, the Magnificat that follows that. You see, God chooses to do the extraordinary with the ordinary. God chooses to make himself manifest in a way that no one can question that it's God at work. Mary, a virgin, least likely of all. But there's one thing God will never do. God will never kick the door in to force his will on you or me. You see, the greatest gift to humanity is free will. Maybe the greatest curse as well. God will give you opportunity to follow his will, to follow his way, to follow his plan. But he'll never force you to. It'll be up to you. It'll be up to me to accept it or reject it. It'll be up to us. God at work. God at work. I did a funeral service this past week, and someone asked me after the graveside service, "Pastor, the world's a mess. Does God not care? Pastor, people are suffering around the world. Does God not care? Pastor, does God not care?" I said, "God cares greatly, deeply, and passionately, but do we care? Are we willing to lay down our agendas and hear the call of God in our life? Well, Pastor, there's people that are starving. Sure, what are you doing about it? There's enough wealth in the world today that there should be no one hungry or homeless. There's enough resources in the world today that people should not be having scarcity of them. There should not be a table that would be empty at Christmas. So are we to be found faithful or not?" "Well, Pastor, I can't do anything about world hunger. I can't do anything about..." But you can do something about it at your home, in your community. How many of you have heard God's call in your life? Or have you slowed down long enough to listen? Have you stepped aside that agenda that you have laid out, your plan, your purposes, your goals, long enough to hear that God may have something for you to do
that God may be calling you in some way. You see, this is what it's about. We have to prepare the way of the Lord. We can't do that if we don't let Him have His way. We have to put our agenda aside. But this doesn't mean that God's going to call you out of it. He's probably got you where you need to be. And He's calling you where you are to serve where you are and where and the way that He wants you to. Well, Pastor, I don't know what He wants me to do. Have you asked Him? Have you prayed, God, not my will be done? Oh, that's what Mary said, wasn't it? So, Pastor, but I want to be famous and I want to be fortunate. I want to do great things. Maybe God wants you to change the light bulb and turn the sign on. Maybe that's all He's calling you to do, is to take 10 minutes and share grace with somebody. Maybe He's calling you to pay for somebody's meal who's behind you in a car. Maybe He's calling you to just sit down with somebody and have a conversation. Pick up the phone and give them a call. Maybe He doesn't want you to be a Billy Sunday. How many of you even know who that is? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the wordsmith of Christianity. Or a Billy Graham. Or Martin Luther King Jr. Maybe He doesn't want you winning thousands of souls for Christ. Maybe there's one that's important to Him. And it's the one that He knows you can bring in. You see, our idea of our purpose and importance needs to align with God's call on our life. Well, Pastor, I'm getting too old. I'm too far gone, really. How about talking to Sarah and Elizabeth about that? Well, Pastor, I don't have any means. I don't have any resources. How about talking to Mary about that one? You see, we can find a million excuses. We're good at that. Maybe we could even blame someone else. Or even better yet, wait on someone else. They'll do it. I don't have to. They'll take care of it. You know, if it don't get done soon enough, it'll get soon done by some. That's the way you look at life, isn't it? God at work. He didn't just call me. He called you. He didn't just knock at my door. He knocked at yours. He didn't just call me to purpose and task. He called you. For those of us who believe, He calls. Billy Graham was once asked, "Where does the idea of retirement come from?" And Billy said, "It's not in this book. You might get it somewhere, but you don't get it in here." So you may retire from something, but not from your faith. Our greatest enemy is complacency. Our second greatest enemy is stubbornness, which becomes a form of idolatry, wanting what we want, rather than saying, "Let it be unto me according to your will." If you want to see God at work, then let Him work through you. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. A little more sermon here before we pray. With our heads bowed and our hearts bowed with them, Father, we struggle. And that's the truth. We struggle between our will and your will, our wants and your call. Father, we are at times a very disobedient and stiff-necked people. Forgive us, we pray. Father, there are lives hanging in the balance. There are souls unsaved. Father, I pray that I am faithful that none may be lost. I want to ask you to pray something with me. It's a slice of a Wesley prayer, but only pray it, then think about it, and ask yourself, does it fit? So pray with me. God, hear my prayer. Forgive me my stubbornness. Show me humility. Bow my heart that I may hear. Use me for your will. Lift me high if that's what you want, or lay me low if that is what you will. Father, use me or lay me aside that I may glorify you however you will. Father, I pray this with you, that you would call upon me and that I would hear and that I would serve. Father, let it be unto me according to your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The door is open now. The prayer has been prayed. You joined us in it, and maybe not. For God wants to do great things with ordinary people, that the world would know it's God at work. So if you want to see God at work, look for the extraordinary being done that helps others through the ordinary. Amen. May we know that here we need the call of God in our life, that others may be touched by the love and grace of God. For he calls upon us to be his hands and his feet, to be those who embrace those who are broken, and to share the good news for those who need it most. Now may the peace and grace of God go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
Service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.